The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. We've been speaking about the fact that the world and our nation needs a spiritual revival. God called ancient Israel and Judah to a spiritual revival many times, and I'm sure that he has been doing the same to the United States, because there are a few ministers out there telling this nation that we need to repent and turn to God. In Jeremiah 3, verse 6, the Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, "Have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot." In other words, Israel, ancient Israel, became truly and only an idolatrous nation. Very few in the nation of Israel depended on God and served God in the later years of the nation of Israel before they went into captivity. Jeremiah was a prophet in the nation of Judah, but much of his message was directed toward Israel, or the house, or the nation of Israel, as well as to Judah, which was the nation he lived in. Jeremiah was of Jewish descent, but God used him to prophesy to the nation of Israel as well as to the nation of Judah. In verse 6 of Jeremiah 3 was aimed at our ancestors Israel. God called them a backsliding nation, meaning they had turned away from God and became an idolatrous nation, worshiping the works of their own hands and depending on help from other idolatrous nations. Does that sound like what America is doing? Yes, because we put any and everything before the true, one and only faithful God. Jeremiah continues to tell them to turn back to the true God. There are a few ministers of Jesus Christ crying the same message to America today, and have been for many years, as well as telling our nation the judgment God is sending and will continue to send on us until we are destroyed, just like our ancestors, ancient Israel, were. They didn't listen. So far, America hasn't listened either. In Jeremiah 3, verse 7, he continues here, "And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it." Yes, God sent prophet after prophet to ancient Israel, telling them to return to him so their demise wouldn't come. He also did the same to Judah. Neither one of them listened. Except Judah, at times, they did have a righteous king that reigned over them, and when they did, they turned to God. They had a spiritual revival. God called them to a spiritual revival over and over, that is, ancient Israel. They never heard or listened to that call. At least, after Israel and Judah split and became two separate nations in the days of Rehoboam, David's grandson, and they paid a big price. They were taken captive by the Assyrian Empire, 732 through 718 B.C. They lost their identity. They lost their language. People don't know who Israel is today. Very few really know who the nations of Israel are today. In verse 8, "Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also." God is speaking of spiritual adultery, of putting other gods, false gods, before the one and the only true God, the creator of all things. Sounds like this world and our nation today, and indeed it is. So God divorced or turned his face away from Israel. God quit sending blessings and began to curse them. That is happening to America today. Is the weather our ally? Are other nations our true allies? Why? We're going to get into that. There is a reason why that God is leaving us and perhaps has already left us. Well, it's because we are either in the process or perhaps have already cut ourselves off from God with our many sins. And yet, just as God kept sending prophet after prophet to Israel and the nation of Judah, warning them to turn back to him in a spiritual revival, he is doing the same to America today. Will we listen? Will you as an individual? Israel didn't, and they met their demise. The nation of Judah turned to God now and then when they had a righteous king reigning over the nation. And they didn't reach their demise for over 130 years after Israel did. Now I want you to notice one of those kings of Judah, which was a God-fearing man, which was a righteous man, and he led his nation in the way of God. He and his people turned to God with their whole heart. They were called to a spiritual revival, and they heard and listened. In 2 Chronicles 15, beginning in verse 1, I want you to notice the beginning of this revival. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." You know, my friends, God is the same God today as he was back at this time. And if you seek God, he will turn to you. If you turn to God, he will turn to you. The New Testament tells us that. And God is the same. He doesn't change. Yes, if you seek God, you will find him. God wants to be with you. He wants to be with our nation, and he will be if we let him. God said his eyes are on the just or the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry or their prayers. God also tells us in the New Testament that he doesn't hear sinners. That should tell us something. We should listen to what God has to say. The Bible and history proves time after time that God never forsakes those individuals or any nation as long as they are serving him. God said he is with you while you are with him. But he has also said if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That means an individual, that means a nation, that means the whole world, my friends. You would think an individual or a nation or the whole world would be smart enough to want God with us. But are we? No. But we are naive enough to try and kick God out away from us, to let God know we don't think we need him and we don't want him in our way, we don't want him in our path. We could say to let God know we don't want to be his servants, his friends, his family. And God said, "All right, I will see what your end will be." Where are we today? What does our end look like? The condition that the world is in today, the condition that this nation is in, and perhaps the condition that you are in, my friends, gives you a good clue as to what our end will be. This world and our nation hasn't reached our end yet, but it is close, and it doesn't look good. God had just won a war for the nation of Judah at the time he inspired his word by the prophet Azariah. Now, why did God fight his people? 2 Chronicles 14, beginning verse 1, gives the answer. So Ahijah rested with his fathers and buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Eternal, his God. That's why God fought the war for Judah and won. Because Asa, the king, led his nation in the right direction. He led them in the path of the Almighty. For he moved verse 3 in danger. For he moved also before God and the high places and walked on the scriptures, but on the edges. In other words, Asa sound get a pen walking on doctors for God that he had and turned people like God. He committed to take the God of the laws and to observe the law and the commandment. Well, that must be very important, isn't it? The law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was right under him. Yes, God gave him peace. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. You know, it sounds like it pays to have God on your side, doesn't it? And indeed it does, my friend. Therefore he said to Judah in verse 7, "Let us build these cities and make walls around them, and towers, gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side." So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, who carried the shield of spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drove. All these were mighty men of valor. In time of peace, Asa and the name of Judah did venture. They built and they prospered. And they built up his army because he knew that Elisha would want to destroy them. Verse 9, then Hira the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Esau. And were here of an army of Judah that had been over 2 to 1. So he went out against them and set troops by array of Bethlehem at Esau. And Asa cried out, "Lord God," and said, "Lord, it is nothing for you to help whether men are with those who have no power, Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest in you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Yes, Asa knew that if this army overtook him, they were prevailing against God, because God was with that nation, because that nation was serving God. Now, it sounds like pace to go on one side, doesn't it? And Asa claimed God as his God, and he could rightly do that, and he did rightly do that because he served the God. That's what we need to do today. We are saved as a nation, and that's what the world needs to do. They are saved the world. So the Lord shall eat open for Asa and Judah, and eat open flesh. Notice, my friend, God fought battle there for Asa and army, and they, Judah, and Asa, and people who were with them to brought to the Ethiopians for overthrown. They could not cover, for they brought before the Lord and army, and they were very much fall. Then they fit all sit around brought, for fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all cities, for there was a city spoiling them. They also tied livestock and butchers, and killed sheep and camels and bullocks, and returned to Jerusalem. Yet Asa was king that leaves obey God, and he committed his face to obey God and the Lord. That's why God fought battle them. And God is saying today, if we turn God in a spiritual Bible, God would turn us well. We'll pick up a few programs time up, but we'll notice how Asa and they turned God in a spiritual Bible. You will see that they did it their heart. In the meantime, we have a book that you read. There are a church of course, just our material quest. Book number one, call to revival. You need to resist it, friend, and you need to take the heart. You need to read your Bible, and you need to take the heart. You need to begin to serve the true God. You need to take the heart. Call to revival, and how to build the character. What God expects you to build God's character. Why you were born, to build godly character. And God says, he's trying to call us to a spiritual life. So to request it, just call us. Marvel Church of God at 573-238-3675. Email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com or go online at www.thewayitoughtobe.org. This is Hornbuckle on behalf of the Multi Lord God. Thank you for joining us today. May God help you turn to Him truly, personally, and spiritual revival.
First name, Pern Buckle and Beta B. Graham. Printed by full member and co-workers Marble Church Advent. K on Kiro 300 Blockworth Cat and Charbel. Eating Saturday this but 2 p.m. You can listen to our previous report broadcasts or our free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughtobe.org. Or call us at 573-2337 or email at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Church on 7th Day. Post office box 615 Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.
The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. We've been going through a series of broadcasts of how we need a spiritual revival. That is, how America needs a spiritual awakening, a spiritual revival. There was a king back in ancient Judah by the name of Asa. King Asa was a king that believed in obeying God, and he commanded his nation to obey God, and the whole nation prospered. The whole nation was blessed for doing so. God promises to bless any nation or individual that obeys him. He also promises to curse for disobedience. So what is our nation and the world receiving? What do you think that we're under? What do we see and hear? Now notice what this righteous king did in 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapter 15, verse 1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now God was already with this nation. This nation was already in the process of obeying God, but they weren't as close to God as they should be. But God looked on the heart, on the mind, and on the attitude, and they were willing to obey God. King Asa was a righteous man before he ever ascended the throne of Judah, and we'll bring that out as we go on here. And this prophet met King Asa and his army when they were returning from a great victory over the Ethiopian army that had them outnumbered 2-1. God is the same today. He does not change. The Bible says God doesn't change. He is still with those that are with him. He still blesses those that obey his word. whether it's an individual or a nation or the world. And God is still giving this world and our nation an invitation for a